Well, tonight I'm going to start a new series on the Holy Spirit, on the Comforter. And we're going to actually be looking at the function, some functions of the Spirit. Amen. John 16:13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now, in that verse is a lot of profound revelation right there, and we're going to be looking at some of that next week. This week, we're going to be focusing on some things that the Spirit empowers us to do. Amen. Some benefits of the Spirit, some things that maybe you know, but we're going to go dig a little bit deeper and look at some of the functions of the Spirit. You know, people say, why do we make such an emphasis on being filled with the Spirit? Well, we're going to look at that tonight. And we're going to look at some of the mysteries associated with the Comforter, because it's more than just some, spirit. There's a mist of mysteries there. Jesus himself in verse 13 tells us that, "For he shall not speak of himself." What does he mean by that? "But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So there, I believe there is many benefits or aspects of the Spirit that we're not really receiving. We're not really living in. We're not receiving the fullness of, not because we haven't received the Spirit, but we are not really making ourselves available. We're not taking advantage of the things that God has provided for us. So we're going to look at some of the functions of the Spirit tonight and see what we can learn. Amen. Well, one of the first ones, of course, is Romans 8:14 tells us that it gives us the power to become a son, to become a son of God. "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God." That's very key, because you can be led by your flesh. You can be led by your desires. You can be led by all kinds of things. You can be led by friends, you know, peer pressure. But none of that is going to make you a son. The only thing that makes us a son of God is when we are obedient to the Spirit of God and he directs our path. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." That's what declares us. That's what guides us. That's one of the major functions of the Holy Spirit, is that it leads us, is that it is there to enable us to become a son of God. The other important part of the Holy Spirit is that it is protection. It's protection for your soul. That's one of the most important parts of the Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom he also trusted after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that he believed, he were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." The Holy Spirit seals us. It seals our soul. There is no promise of ultimate eternal life for this body, but there is a promise for our soul, because that's the most important thing. That's the unique attribute that makes us who we are. And God has sealed us. When you seal something, you know what you've done? You've protected it. You've put a covering over it. And one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to seal our soul. Jesus, I think in John 17, said that he had lost none of them, speaking of his disciples, because nobody could pluck them out of his hand. When we give ourselves fully and totally to God, when we are totally committed and surrendered to him, and through the Spirit, the Bible says he seals our soul. Satan cannot touch that. Yes, he can touch this flesh. We certainly can get sick. Certainly we can experience tragedies. We can experience bodily harm. But our soul, our spirit, the Bible said, is sealed. Amen. So one of the major functions of the Spirit is that it is a protection for the soul. And then here's another one. It's a guide for truth. John 16:13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Now, that will only happen if we're listening. You know, you can have a GPS unit telling you which way to go, but you have the choice of ignoring it. Amen. Amen? So yes, the Spirit will speak to us, but we have to be submissive. We have to be listening. We have the example of Elijah in the mountain when he was looking for God, and he was looking for God in the big noise, in the earthquake, in the fire, in the storm. You know, a lot of people are looking for God in big ways, in massive signs. And yet God may be just in a still, small voice. Here's the thing, though. Unless you're quiet, you will miss the still, small voice. Unless you're really listening, you will miss actually that God is speaking to you. If you're looking in the wrong direction, if you're listening to all the noise, if you're trying to get your spiritual guidance instead of from the Bible but from the internet, you will miss the still small voice. The Bible speaks here that in John 16:13, that one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into truth. That means if we have the Holy Spirit, we should be gaining truth. We should be gaining life. Sister Mary. Well, in the Old Testament, you'll find in the book of Kings and Chronicles, where they write about each king, it always starts out, and this king reigned from this time to this time, and he served God with a perfect heart. Or sometimes it will say he served God with a perfect heart, but not totally. You see, we can halfway obey God, but we won't get the full measure of God's blessing until we fully obey him. God told Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to walk. And he kind of halfway obeyed, but he went as far as Haran and then he stopped. So many of us don't experience the fullness of God's blessing because we only partially obey what God has asked us to do. And so we don't get the fullness of his blessing. That's my belief. When God has told us to do something and we only do it halfway, then we haven't really obeyed. I'm trying to give a better example, but Abraham didn't really get into the fullness of his blessing until many, many years after totally he was by himself. Even when he left Haran, he still took Lot with him and his family. And it wasn't till Lot left and finally God got him by himself that God then really gave him the fullness of the promises that he had made to him. So, when I say totally, I mean we have to totally give ourselves to God, Sister Mary. Well, we are flesh, so we are going to get tempted, and that's why it's a daily sacrifice. There was a daily sacrifice in the temple every day, 365 years. And the Bible speaks about that we are going to have to give ourselves daily. It's a die daily. That's what Paul said. I die daily. He said he has to speak to himself lest he become a castaway too. And it's the same with all of us. Just because we're filled with the Spirit, just because God speaks to us, even if he gifts us, and we have great gifts of whatever, maybe we can preach or teach. The Bible says about those things are without repentance, right? That's a gift. That's a no charge. That has nothing to do with whether you are fully obedient to God, right? There are people who are eloquent speakers, but they're not filled with the Spirit. So that doesn't prove just because you can speak eloquently or you can memorize Scripture that means you have God's blessing. What really emphasizes God's blessing is, he says, those who obey his will. There was a time when Jesus was speaking to a crowd and his mother and brothers came and wanted to speak to him. And they told him, they said, Master, your mother and brothers are out, so they want to speak to you. And you would think Jesus would stop and jump down. No, he said, my mother and brothers, and he pointed to his disciples, are those who will be obedient. And that is the key to the fullness of God's blessing, is obedience. Sister Brownie.
Could you use the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and he said, what must I do? You know, serve, but he
Right. So, Sister Brownie said, what about the rich young ruler? And yes, that is a good example because he had fulfilled outwardly the law. He said, all these things have I kept from my youth. Jesus looked at him and said, one thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. And it was the fact that he wasn't willing to put God totally first. He had these other priorities that he wanted to hold on to. So, yes, when I say totally, to the degree we are completely surrendered to God's will is to the degree which we can be blessed, the degree to which God can actually use us. Right? Jesus said in John, behold, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath what? Nothing in me. There was nothing for Satan to grab onto. The amount that we are invested in the physical world, in things, in material things, is to the degree that Satan can mess with us, right? Yeah. Right? So if we're invested in physical things, like if I'm really proud of my car, I go out there and shine it every day, you know, and look at it and stare at it. Boy, that's a big thing that Satan can get me with, right? He can really mess with me with that because all it takes is someone to come and put a dent in it and or key it, and I'm going to be upset, right? I'm going to be so invested in that. So to the degree that we are invested in things, that's how much Satan can get us. And so when I say that we have to be totally surrendered, that's the guideline of the Bible, right? Jesus wants all of us. He doesn't want 90%. He doesn't want 95%. He wants us totally. And to the degree that we can totally say, be able to say, that behold, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath what? Nothing in me. If there's nothing in you, there's nothing he can get you with, right? You know what hurts us? You know what hurts us is things that we love. Things that we're invested in. You know, if someone else's car gets keyed, I'll be sorry for them, but it really won't be upsetting to me as if it was my car, right? Or your car. You'll say, well, I'm so sorry this happened. But if it's your car, man, that's going to give you a bad day for a week, right? So that's what I'm saying. Yes, God knows that we need physical things. He knows we need houses, we need food, we need clothing. But what did he tell the Jews? Just ask for your what? Daily bread. Daily bread. That's all we need. And so the function of the Spirit is that it is a guide for truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's one of the functions of the Spirit. That means that we should be always learning. That means when you come across some scripture, instead of calling me, you should pray. And say, Lord, give me the revelation of this scripture. Amen. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Let's look at some more functions of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit, or one of the major reasons for being filled with the Spirit, is for resurrection. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. It is the power of resurrection. It is the Spirit that gives life. So one of the major reasons to be filled with the Spirit is that's the only way you're going to be able to be bodily resurrected in the first resurrection. It gives us the power for resurrection. It is the hope of glory. It's reason why I didn't get too sad when my parents died. You know why? I firmly believe they were filled with the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. The Bible says that we cherish this hope not in vain. So one of the functions of the Spirit is for resurrection power. The other major function of the Spirit is to minister. Now you can minister, but you can't minister in truth. You cannot minister truly without the Spirit. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The reason they had to wait was he was going to send them out. That they were going to evangelize. They were going to spread and preach the kingdom message. And he told them to wait. They had to wait until they'd be permanently endued with power. Now it is true that early on in his ministry, he gave them authority. It's translated power, but the word in the Greek, he gave them authority over devils and spirits. And they were having a good time just casting out because he gave them authority. But we need not just authority, but we also need power. Because sometimes your authority is going to be challenged. That's what happened to the disciples. They came across a child in which the demon would not obey them. They tried to cast him out, and they rejected the authority. And it took Jesus, who not only had authority, but also the power. And that's why he told them to wait till the day of Pentecost, till you be endued, not just with authority, but with power. Remember, in his day, there were other people who were going around casting out devils in his name. Right? But you need more than authority to actually be effective. You actually need to be able to back it up sometimes. Right? Because the devil will challenge you. And so, one of the functions of the Spirit is to give us power. To give us the power to minister. Let's look at some more. I'm dealing this week just with the functions of the Spirit. Next week I'm going to go into some of the mysteries of the Spirit. It gives us the power to fight. The Bible says we wrestle not with against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and power. We so often forget that, and we get mad at people. Is not that true? Is that not true? We get mad at people. Jesus didn't get mad too much at Peter. He said, Satan. He didn't call him Peter. He said, Satan. Because he knew who was whispering these things in his ear. And Peter just conveniently blurted it out. Oh, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to get killed. If you know they're going to arrest you there, then just don't go. Doesn't that sound so logical and right? But he didn't say Peter. He says, I rebuke you, Satan. Now, I think we would have more success if we spoke to the person who was really causing us the problem. The Bible says he works in the children of disobedience. You're speaking to the person when it's the principalities and powers who we're really fighting. And the power to fight is through the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus said, and I quote this so much, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. It is the Spirit that we need to fight. We can't fight it with words. We can talk to people. We can, you know, give them a piece of our mind. But that really won't do anything. What we have to do is identify who we're really fighting. Right? Because you're throwing rocks at the wrong person. It's Satan who is trying to kill you. It's the spirits that are trying to destroy you. So we have to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not the kind of battle we're truly in. Not if you are a child of the King. What he's trying to do is destroy your soul. And he will use people to do it. But that's not who. That's why the Bible says our weapons are not carnal. By that you can't use fleshly means to actually win the battle. You have to fight through the Spirit. That's one of the functions of the Spirit. And the reason why we don't win is because we're using fleshly means. We use our words. We use our words. We use our schemes. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You need to say, get thee behind me, Satan. You need to get some words and tell Satan you're not going to bow down. The Bible says sin shall not have dominion. You need to quote some spirit words to him. Instead of looking at the person, you have to fight with the power of the Spirit. That is one of the functions of the Spirit. Let's look at another one. And here's a good one. It gives us the power to bear fruit. If we have the Spirit, the Bible says that we ought to bear fruit. Right? Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Wow. I think there was 9 fruit there. Now, some of us, I think we've gone into our winter season. We've shed our leaves and all the sap has poured down the bottom. And there ain't no fruit on us. It's thin pickings. I hope Jesus doesn't come by our fig tree, because he may not find any fruit. But it's the Holy Spirit that even in our winter season should give us the ability to bear fruit. You should shock the devil, you know? Because he's expecting no fruit from you. You should shock the devil and do the opposite to what your flesh is feeling. Tell yourself, I'm going to be joyful today. Tell yourself you're going to be, and your flesh is going to say, what? Why should I be joyful? Well, let me think. Jesus loves you. I'm a child of the King. Jesus said, rejoice because your name is written in the book of life. I can think of some things to be joyful. And they cost no money. You know why? Because they've been paid in full at the cross. See, the Holy Spirit should give us the power to bear fruit, even in a winter season. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. You know, one way I try to overcome looking at people is, as I told you before, who can hate like a newborn baby? Tell me which person hates a newborn baby. Just looks at them and hates them. Well, all 7,000 billion people, at one point or another, that's what they were. And what you see today is what Satan and the world has done, corrupted the image that God created. And what we have to do is get God's mind frame and look at what could be rather than what is there now. Amen? Because if you look at what's there now, a lot of us don't want to associate with certain people, right? But the Bible said he went after the one sheep. He left the other 99. That is what God has called us. He said he would know us, that we were his disciples, because of the love that we show one to another. Who wants somebody to really go to hell, to be lost eternally? Who would you want that on, right? Even your worst enemy. What you should want is that they have a transformation. And the proof of that is Saul in the New Testament. Here was somebody who the church could really hate. They could have been praying, Lord, why don't you just kill him? That should really not be our prayer. Our prayer for our enemy should be, Lord, why don't you change him? Think about that. You know, are we praying, Lord, kill him? Kill her? No, our prayer should be, change them, save them. Because that is what the Holy Spirit does. In our flesh, we might really do want to kill them. But if through the Spirit we can see the potential for what God originally created, what God intended. Because first of all, you know, he did say, he that was without sin, first cast a stone. And I'm sure all of us would have walked away too. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. See, we should be bearing fruit. Again, this tells us that we're not allowing the full functioning of the Spirit. We're choking it off. We're choking it off. These are some of the functions of the Spirit. Okay, let's look at some more. It says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Here's another one. The power to walk in the Spirit. Now, if we're walking in the Spirit, the Bible says, then we will not fulfill. There's a measurement for you. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Sunday we talked about path of righteousness, the path of trial, about taking up your cross. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So if we belong to Christ, we are getting up every morning and we're dying daily. You know, the trouble is, most of the time, the things we go through is because we're not dead. Because dead person can't feel. Right? Can't feel pain. If that part of us was dead, we wouldn't be so upset because we wouldn't be feeling it. And they that are Christ have crucified their flesh with affections and lusts. If we belong to Christ, there won't be nothing that comes before Him and His service. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. This is a function of the Spirit. It gives us the ability to walk in the Spirit. The power to walk. That's a power that, you know, when it's fully manifested, we would see so many more miracles. We'd see much more demonstration of the power of God because it would be manifested through us. Just as how Satan works in the children of disobedience, God works in the children of obedience. It works both ways. I said the power to bear fruit. I put that in there twice. Let's look at some more. The power to be declared perfect. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to be declared perfect. Because what it's doing is giving us God's stamp of approval. When Peter was sent to the Gentiles, to Nicodemus' house, he wasn't going to go. God had to show him a vision and show him all these unclean animals under the law. And God said, why don't you eat these? He said, nothing unclean. He had been a devout Jew. He'd never eaten anything like, you know, pigs or anything like that that was defined as unclean. But God wanted to show something, that whatever He declares as holy, you dare not call anything but. That's why someone who is filled with the Spirit, even if they don't believe exactly what we believe, don't say anything against them. We can present the truth, but if they're truly filled with the Spirit, you know what God has done? He has put His seal. He has put His seal. And here's one of my favorite scriptures. I know I say that about every scripture I quote, but I think this scripture is so awesome. For by one offering, that is His Spirit, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Let me break that scripture down for you. What it's saying is this. When He died on the cross, He said, Father, into Thy hands commend My spirit. By that offering, He hath declared us perfect as soon as we leave earth, as soon as we take one step. Sanctification means separation. As soon as we start to separate from Ur of the Chaldees, then by His Spirit, He declares us perfect. For by one offering, He hath perfected forever. He looks at the end result. He's not looking at terrible me and all my faults and failures and how incompetent I am and the thoughts that may cross through my head. But by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. All it means is separate. It's not about you being making yourself holy. All it means is you being obedient and you're taking the first step. He declared. It's through the Spirit that we are declared holy. The Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge to God's elect? It is God that does what? Justifies. Whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness. That's what it's saying. The Holy Spirit is a witness that God has declared us perfect. And that's hard, at least for people who have a conscience. Right? If you have a conscience, that's hard to believe that God is looking at you as perfect. And that's one of the means that Satan uses to stop our faith-filled prayer. Because we pray afraid. That, well, God is looking at what I did last week and He's looking at what I did 20 years ago. But the fact that He has declared us perfect didn't change the animals, but God said to Peter, don't call anything that God has declared perfect anything but. You go and you do what I say. And as Peter was speaking, God declared Cornelius perfect by giving him the gift. And Peter could only say, can we forbid water? Because these have been filled just as us, God making no difference. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now the Bible tells us in Hebrews that it's impossible for God to lie. So if God cannot lie, then verse 17 must be true. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. See, now, if you could get that in your soul, that'd be cause to rejoice for the next month. That we are clean and every whit made whole. This is a function of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad if you've received the Holy Spirit? Because it is the seal of God. It is the thing that is going to protect us. Amen. Functions of the Holy Spirit. It gives us the power to belong to the heavenly family. Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It's very black and white. You either have the Spirit of God and belong to him, or you don't, and you do not. There isn't no, when it comes to the Spirit, there is no halfway house there. Paul is very clear. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, we know Jesus speaks about those that are his. He says, you are in the world, but not of the world. He says that none of the ones that he was given has he lost. So, it's important to be one of his. And the only way to do that is to be filled. Be sure to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. This is one of the functions of the Spirit, to seal us to Christ so that we belong to the heavenly family. The other thing that the Spirit gives us, and I don't know if you're counting them up so far, isn't that great? All the benefits of the Holy Spirit. It is the true thing that gives us the power to pray. You may say, well, I don't need the Spirit to pray. True. But to pray in a better way is only really done through the Spirit. Let's look at that. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. If you want God to really move on your behalf, pray in the Spirit. That's what it's saying. Let the Spirit pray through you, I should say. Because that's a code that can't be broken. That's not one that can be cracked. That's beyond anything cryptography can come up with. Satan has no idea what's going on there. I have no doubt that's one of the reasons why God gave the unknown language. Because it's a means of communication that nobody can break. They've tried to. They've recorded people speaking in tongues, and they've tried to analyze it. And the conclusion they come to is, it's not a language. You know why they say it's not a language? Because they can't understand it. But you know, they can't understand it, so guess who else can't understand it? Satan can't. It is one of the most precious functions of the Holy Spirit, is that it enables us to pray effectively. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for. See, we all think we do know what we should pray for, and that M word is high up on the list. Money, money, money. Right? It's true the Bible says money answereth all things. Well, most things, but there's some things, as another song says, that money can't buy. Right? Was it the Beatles that wrote Money Can't Buy You Love? Money can't. There's things that money can't buy. Money can't buy you health necessarily. Right? Money can't buy you cures against cancer necessarily. But the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, and one of the prime functions of the Spirit is that it helps our infirmities. So that we think we should be praying for something, but when we start to pray in the Spirit, Something supernatural is happening. Something supernatural is happening. And that's what we ought to do in our private prayer, is just let the Spirit just pray through us. Doesn't matter now if anyone's around, just us and God. Let the Spirit, as it says, give groanings that cannot be uttered. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Not according to what my shopping list is. Right? We go to God with a shopping list. Right? And we think we know. I mean, suppose you shopped based upon what your five-year-old came to you with. What would you come? There'd be a bunch of stuff that wouldn't be no good. Right? It'd all be cookies and ice cream. Imagine if you shop based on your five-year-old shopping list. But the Bible says that the Spirit knoweth. This is one of the functions of the Spirit, the power to pray effectively. Now, the other great thing, and there's just so much in the function of the Spirit, is that it sets us free from the law of sin. Isn't that great? That it's the Spirit that sets us free from the law of sin. Romans 8:2. In Romans 7, Paul is explaining how he has to battle this flesh, and how when he wants to do good, sometimes he doesn't. And when he wants to not do good, sometimes something else happens, and how it's a constant battle. And he ends up, who will deliver me? Who's going to deliver me? And then he gives the answer in Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Because it's the law, because we couldn't keep it, always ends the same way. And he died. But through Christ, the Bible says we have been passed from death unto life. If you have the Spirit, this body may dissolve, but according to the Bible, all it is a change. Amen? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. So once we have the Spirit, the Bible says we are passed from death unto life. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, right? We give into those cravings. Through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, because of sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That means when he took it on his body, he was just like, as I've taught about the atonement ceremony, he was the goat on which the sins were pronounced. So when he died, he took it all with him. And if he took it all with him, and we believe that, and we associate with his death, then you know what? The Bible says that God looks at us as perfect. This is another power of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Does that mean you have to be Miss Goody Two-Shoes? Is that what that's saying? That somehow you have to make yourself perfect? No, that's not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. It's very simple, really, walking in the Spirit. The Bible gives it many. It's what you're thinking about. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So the words that you are thinking about are also spirit and life. It's whatever your meditation is. It's whatever you fill your day. I tell you, the days you will find your strongest is when you're thinking about God. When you're thinking about a word. When you're thinking about a scripture. That's walking in the Spirit. Because that's just like poison to the devil. He don't want to come near you because you just got too much word today. For they that are after the flesh, here it is, do mind. What is this speaking about? Do mind. It means that's what you're thinking about. And if all you're thinking about is the flesh, you're going to get very depressed. You're going to get very down, because even rich people, they're thinking about, I'm going to lose this money. The stock market is down today. You know, on a given day, some of these rich people lose billions on paper. Stock market falls 100 points, they've lost $2 billion. Now imagine if that's what your focus is, you're going to get upset. The fact is that you may have another 100 million, 100 billion doesn't seem to to be effective. It's the flesh is looking at, look what I had yesterday. See, that's what I'm talking about when we're invested in the flesh. But if we are minding the things of the Spirit, if I'm thinking about the goodness of God, and if I'm thinking about how He has blessed me, how He, as the song said, how He saved me, how He's delivered me. If I start, you know the times when I get most grateful, and this is very bad, is when we have a missionary. And I take him out to eat and I start telling them the history of the church. And then it really hits me. It really hits me. I start at the beginning and how everything's starting. Then I start telling him the miracles. And I'm listening to myself and going, wow, that's pretty good. That is pretty amazing that God did that for us. You know, and just, this is what walking in the Spirit is. You start to think about the goodness of Jesus, what He's done for you. This is the power of the Spirit, because it sets us free from the law of sin and death. And of course, it makes us part of the heavenly family. Galatians 4:6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, so you are able to say, Father. Most of the time when I pray privately, I say, Father. Because that's who He is to me. He is my Father. Before the New Testament, no one had the right to call God Father. They knew Him by all kinds of names. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tisakenu, all of those names, right? But no one dared call Him Father, because they were going to stone you if you said that. He makes Himself equal to God because He says He is His Father. But that's the secret and the power of the Holy Spirit, is that it gives us the right to do what? Well, isn't that amazing? Because now you are one. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit. How is this? It's a function of the Holy Spirit. That's how we have access to the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. I traveled, as you know, a little while ago out the country, and of course I'd forgotten how terrible it is coming back in, and you know, all the rigmarole you have to go through. And of course, because of COVID, it was tripled. We ended up having to take 3 COVID tests to go out and come back. And coming back in, you know, you go into a certain line and you go through immigration, all of that. And he looked at my card and he said, boy, you have been here a long time. Are you going to become a citizen? And we both said, sure, yes, that's what we're going to do. A lot of people come to church a long time, but they haven't taken the next step and made sure they have become citizens, become part of the family. They come to all the family gatherings, but you know, when the will starts to be read, they're going to have their name in the book. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. For through Him, through Christ, we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. See, technically, wasn't a citizen. So he said, wow. This, and in Sister Brownie's card is her original card. For some reason, they have not chopped her one up. She's got her original card from 40 years ago that she was issued. I think I know the reason why now, why her card, it has no expiration date on it. My card, I have to get it renewed every 10 years. But he looked at it, the immigrant said, wow, it says here 40-something years. And so we both said, oh yeah, we keep planning to take citizenship. We're going to do it. But some people treat that with God. They come to the get all the benefits, but they never take the next step. But once you have the Holy Spirit, it says you are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Okay, let's go some more. Functions of the Spirit. The Spirit gives us revelation. Amen. The Spirit will give you revelation if you're looking for it. If you're looking for that benefit. You know, it's like you have insurance and you have a valid claim, but you don't turn it in. You don't even try. The Bible gives us all these benefits of the Spirit, but a lot of us are living so far below what God has for us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God hath revealed them unto us, how? By His Spirit. But the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You want to know something? You need to let the Spirit give you revelation. You need to study and let the Spirit meditate with you. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You know, you can read the Bible 20 times and come away not understanding too much. But you can read one verse and the Spirit suddenly gives you a light bulb and you just go, wow. You can just go, wow. You see, we believe and teach that the Bible was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the only way to get the deeper meanings is for the Holy Spirit to give them to you. Jesus in Matthew 13 told his disciples that the mysteries of the kingdom are not for everyone. Of course, that seems puzzling. But again, remember, we're on whose territory? Enemy territory. In a war, do you want the enemy to know all of your secrets and plans? No. No. So there's some things that God has reserved for himself because he doesn't want the enemy to know. So he's not broadcasting them. But to his servants, he'll give little hints. He said the mysteries of the kingdom are not for everyone to know. But through the Spirit, we can get revelation. Verse 12, for now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Before God brought judgment on Sodom, the Bible writer, Moses, was given a little inner conversation in the mind of God. God said to himself, shall I let my friend Abraham know what I'm planning to do? And he said, you know what? I'm going to let Abraham know what I'm planning to do. Do you understand that God will let us know what he's planning to do? We will be forewarned to some extent. We may not know every detail, but the Bible says we will know the season. So I believe if you're prayed up, I believe if you are letting the Spirit give you revelation, you will hear the cry go out, behold, the bridegroom. I think Spirit-filled believers will get a little bit of warning. Amen. See, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. To most people, what we're doing tonight would be just a waste of a good Tuesday evening. Neither can he know them because they are spirit. You could give something to some of these people and they could read it 1,000 times and it's just jumbled to them. They have no understanding. Because it is only through the Spirit can we get revelation. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Doesn't it say, let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, right? The Bible speaks about being transformed. The Spirit gives us revelation. Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation, this is the Apostle Paul, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not known. God chose Paul to give him the revelation of the gospel of grace. Up until that point, even after Pentecost, because many of the Jews were so ingrained in the ceremonies of the law, even though they had received the Spirit, even though they had been baptized, they still were operating under the law. They were going through all the ceremonies. But God chose Paul, someone who was on the other side, to get the revelation of the gospel of grace. And he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. God will reveal things to you. That's one of the functions and beauties of the Holy Spirit. I know this is all very simple tonight. Next week we're going to get to the core. This is all the lead up. Functions of the Spirit. Okay. The other thing that the Holy Spirit will do is, if you really have the Spirit, it will transform you. You can't have the Holy Spirit and be the same. Else maybe you don't have the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul here writing to the Corinthians church says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. If you really love God, if you really have His Spirit, if you're really obedient, you are going to be changed. And the Bible says we're changing to be like Him, into the same image, from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. One of the functions of the Spirit, as I read in the very beginning, is to give us the power to be led to become a son of God. Ephesians 3:16 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That we should be changed. If we're letting the Spirit minister to us, then we can deal with some situations that we couldn't before. I think God has definitely changed me, because there's a whole bunch of stuff I would not have done that I find myself doing. Amen. That I didn't want to do. When we have the Spirit, it should change us. It should make us do stuff which in the flesh we don't want to do. Amen. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. So one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to transform us. Think about Peter. He was a foul-mouthed fisherman, right? Fishermen are not known for their piety and their sanctity and being quiet. But here he was now, after being filled with the Spirit, in the temple preaching. And they were amazed by what he was saying. He said that they took note that they had been with, aren't these unlearned yokels from Galilee? Aren't these some fishermen? How come they're in the temple talking like this? That's amazing. The Holy Spirit will transform you. The Holy Spirit can renew you. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. See, another function of the Holy Spirit is to change your identity. A lot of people come in with guilt, with the things they've done in their past, and they keep seeing themselves as they were. But the Holy Spirit comes to change your identity. Did you know that? So when I came into the immigration, he said, can I have your passport? Now, my passport has got all of that biometric stuff on it, so he swiped it. And he didn't do this with anyone else. So I said, I want you to put your right hand on this fingerprint thing, and one finger at a time, and they were scanning my fingerprints, then the left hand. Now when his sister Brownie came and he did it, he didn't ask her to do nothing. She was pretty pleased with that, because she's special. And the reason is because her card is so old that it doesn't have any of that stuff, so he couldn't ask her any of that. So he said, okay. So I was the only one that got all of that special treatment. She just kind of waltzed the way through. See, when your identity changes, you get a free pass. The function of the Spirit is to change our identity. Anyone know what's the most common surname in the world? You're thinking English-speaking world. In English-speaking world, yes, Smith is probably the most common. But if you're talking worldwide, anyone have a guess? No. No. We're too small. Actually, I believe it's the Indian last name Singh, S-I-N-G-H, because all of the Sikh nation have that as a last name. Now, in the spiritual world, what should be the most common name? Jesus. Because all of us who have taken on His name, we should have changed identity. We've come into a new name. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father and He'll give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But He know Him. You know who I'm speaking of. That was Jesus. He was claiming to also be the Comforter, the Spirit. For He dwelleth with you. That means Jesus was physically with them. But look what He says now. And shall be in you. He was going to personally be in them. I will not leave you comfortless. This is Jesus speaking. I will come to you. So when the Spirit comes, it should change our identity. Our last name should get appended. Somewhere in there, there should be a Jesus. Because we took on His name, how? By baptism. Amen? We were buried with Him by baptism. When we were buried with Him by baptism, we took on a new identity. I am not the old person I was. That means, the scripture that says you are a new creature, old things are should give us such joy. It's not what we were. It's not where we came from. It's not where we were born. It's not that we were no. It doesn't matter. We just went into the highest family that is possible. Amen. The heavenly family. If we could only grasp that. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. That's what this was all about. Changing your identity. The hope of glory. That's why the Bible says when we see Him, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Amen. If you could stand with me. This week is part one. All I did was talk about functions of the Spirit. Next week I really am going to go into some revelation, some deeper things. Amen. John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and He see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. This is the work of the Spirit. Now we're going to go into this a lot deeper next week. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. There's some stuff God wants to show us. Did you know that? All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. Next week we'll go into that a lot deeper. Amen. But this week I wanted you to understand just the tremendous benefits and availability for things that God has given us just through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just through the Holy Spirit. And most of us, I'll put me in it too, we're not really accessing that. What we have to do is to start using the functions of the Spirit. Amen. And if we do that, we will find that the gifts of the Spirit will be manifest. Hallelujah. God has called us to not just to live, but to live abundantly. Amen. To have life and have it what? How can we do that? Through the Spirit. Amen. We're not just to live, but have it more abundantly. And how does life come? It's through the Spirit. It's not talking about wealth or physical. It's talking about a manifestation of God's power. A manifestation of Him using us. Just as how Satan uses the children of disobedience. If we were obedient to God, imagine how much He could use us. Amen. I hope you will have taken some of these things and will meditate upon it and use it, because God has called us to do so much more than we are currently doing. Hallelujah. And I'm just so grateful for His love, and most of all, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And then He said, it is finished. Hallelujah. We have been blessed. We have been counted worthy that we have been able to come here tonight. Amen. And to hear the words of life. Not my words, but the scriptures that tell us what the power of the Holy Spirit can do in a life. That it can change us. Amen. That it has benefits for us. Hallelujah. I'm trying to close and I'm going to stop now. But I want us this week to just meditate and say, Lord, I want that fullness of your spirit to be effective in me. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, for your power, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask, oh God, that we give way, that your spirit can be manifest through us, Lord, that you can truly use us as vessels of honor. Lord, we ask for your spirit even now as we go to surround us, Lord, to comfort us. Hallelujah, Lord, to manifest through us. Lord, let us bear fruit. Oh God, help us, oh God, to fight, oh God, not with carnality, but with the weapons that you have given us, with the sword of the Spirit. Lord, we ask you for your blessing right now. Help us to meditate, to walk, hallelujah, in the Spirit by taking your words, Lord God, and to meditate upon them. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you cover us, bless us, keep us, deliver us, heal us. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.